Coming today on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zung.
Everybody is certainly born with a soul that is screaming, playing out loud, and it becomes muted over the years. Mm-hmm. So I think many, many of us are living muted lives.
So the big questions are these. How can we navigate and negotiate every situation in our lives, in our career, in our businesses, in our relationships, and even with ourselves for our own self-worth? In other words, what if you could win every time and have no losers? Let's face it, we're not negotiating just to buy a car or for a pay raise. We are negotiating for living in every aspect of our lives. How can we do that powerfully, successfully, and victoriously? Those are the questions, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Rebecca Zung, and welcome to the time where you negotiate your best life. Welcome to another episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I am really excited to dive into this episode. I have Shireen Etisam here with me, and she is, we started talking a little bit before this episode started, and wow, are you guys in for a treat. She is, she has produced TV shows and she's an author, but really what she's going to be talking about today is how to break free, how to follow your bliss, how to find meaning within your soul. Her brand new book actually is dropping today, with the day that we're recording this episode, and it's called Free to Be. And it's taking everything she's learned, all of her soul work, and distilling it down into a simple 6-week process that anyone can do anywhere. I mean, how amazing is that? So welcome, 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 Shireen.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
I am so excited. So tell us about you. Where did this all start? Where did Shireen start?
As a tiny, tiny human being. Yeah. So my background I'm from Iran. My family migrated here when I was quite young. And professionally, my background is as a media executive and an entrepreneur. I've checked off a lot of boxes,
as we do.
A lot of us have. And I was living what I thought was a pretty sweet life. And at the end of 2013, I went through a major life event. My partner who I was with for 13 years, and I broke up in a 20-minute conversation. And we had been good friends for 9 years prior to that. So 22 years of love, friendship, partnership, commitment, loyalty, vanished after 20 minutes. And it completely upended me. And it was frightening for me and confusing because I had not felt that broken before. And I realized fairly early on that it wasn't a matter of a broken heart. Everything felt broken. And the confusing part was, as I mentioned, I had checked off so many boxes and I didn't understand why I felt so broken. So I set out on a 6-year journey and left no stones unturned, looked in every nook and cranny, and completely transformed my life. And I'd like to say that it was just shiny and glorious and wonderful, but it was challenging and difficult and dark and confusing. And the aha moments were incredible. And the overall transformation completely shifted my life. And so coming out of those 6 years and really seeing the light, so to speak, in a completely different way. And again, it wasn't like I was down in the dumps and then suddenly, you know, I became this amazing person. It was always within me. It's just that, like, now I'm like, feel like I'm walking Wonder Woman, you know? And so when in reflection, when I looked at the journey that I had taken and what I had learned, I realized that if I knew what I was doing when I first started, that my entire process could truly be distilled into 6 weeks. And I really mean 6 weeks, because people are like, you know, give us three pointers that people can do today. And I'm like, I've shrunk it down from 6 years to 6 weeks, and it's intentionally structured the way that it's structured. So there is, I can't abbreviate it anymore. But so I wrote the book basically that I wish I had when I was at that crossroad and very much on my knees. But I have to also say that the book is really intended for anyone who feels that they are living a muted life, that there is this voice, this inner yearning that says there is so much more, because there is so much more.
Mm-mm. I mean, don't you feel in a lot of ways, many of us are living that way? I mean, I think most people feel like they were born for more in some ways, like it's their soul speaking to them. Don't you feel?
Well, there is a... We're all born. I mean, you look at babies and toddlers and everything, they're goo goo gaga and they are glowing and, you know, living. They are living joie de vivre, you know. There is no like searching for their passion there, right? Which is why they're so magnetic. And then, you know, and there's studies behind this, somewhere between age 0 and 5, 0 and 7, we detach or even disassociate from our true essence, that core, that inner knowing, that inner magic, that inner star. And the more we adult, the further we move away from it. And when we stop taking our cues when we stop taking our cues from our inner core, we start taking our cues from the outside. So instead of living from the inside in, we live from the outside in. And then there's layers of it and layers of it and layers of it and layers of it. So most of us don't even know, like people say, you know, follow your bliss or look within. You know, I'm like, okay, if people haven't done any work, I'm like, okay, close your eyes and look within. What do you see? It's usually nothing, you know, because we can't see. If we've got years of muck and white noise and all of that, how do we see, you know, how do we see deep down there? So, so my book is structured so that there's the first part of it is a lot of excavation. And the second part of it is that once you connect with your soul, what do you do with it? But to answer your question, I think, you know, everybody is certainly born with a soul that is screaming, playing out loud, and it becomes muted over the years. Mm-hmm. So I think many, many of us are living muted lives.
Yeah. So tell us about this 6 week process. I mean, because I think a lot of people feel more than muted. I think a lot of people feel broken, you know? So, you know, how do they pick up these pieces?
Yeah. So, you know, and I think that if you are new on your journey or if there's, you know, something that's been whispering in you and you want to give it a try, I think that the book serves as a really great primer. And I think that if people have been on this journey for some time, I think, and those who I know who have read it have verified that they feel validated by what they read. Like, oh yeah, thank you for reminding me of that. So the book, again, is very intentionally structured the way it is. And there's a few things on the background. One is that, as I mentioned, it's in two parts. So 3 weeks and 3 weeks. And the reason I made them 3 weeks each is because there's some studies on habits being made or broken within 21-day time frame. It's not that cookie cutter, but there is some of that baked in. And then I also made the process very experiential. So there's exercises throughout. And that's important because I wanted it to feel like a immersive experience and not have it be conceptual. I say that it's the difference between thinking about jumping out of a plane, skydiving, and actually doing it, like, oh my God, you know? The first week is all about detoxing our mind, because that's the biggest culprit. It's the thing that stands in our way. And I could talk more about that. Week two, which I think will particularly resonate with your listeners and viewers, is all about our heart, detoxing our heart. And week three is about detoxing our body, but not the way that we would think about it, beyond the eating right, sleeping right, and such, but truly honoring our bodies as our only sacred vessel through this life. And then the second part is, so you do a lot of excavating, and once you've done so, it actually becomes a byproduct, because connecting with your soul becomes a byproduct of all the excavating. So once you find your soul, where you've been.
Not that it ever left, but yeah.
Right. But I mean, actually seeing it, like truly looking within and seeing it.
Yeah.
Then what do you do with it? So chapter four is my very, very favorite chapter of the book, which is all about play. And I could talk about that, the importance of play in adults. In and for adults. Week five is pretty much is as woo-woo as I get. And that is all about finding one's true north and the dance between soul and spirit, and how the soul is different than the spirit, but both are very needed. And week six is about rewriting one story. Mm-hmm. I called it, for a while, the working title of the book was Manifesto Like You Mean It. The O being in parentheses in manifesto. So manifest like you mean it. And it's also, everything is very step-by-step. I wanted to hold people's hand and walk them through it. So it isn't like, hey, go live your best life. I actually have like a Venn diagram of how to rewrite your story. So,
yeah. Well, I'm going to go back to chapter one. How do you like excavate your mind? Because I always joke that I can never leave my thoughts unsupervised.
Well, that's actually a gorgeous leaping point. So we go through life believing everything we think. Multiple studies show that we have somewhere between 17 to 65,000 thoughts daily. 80% of them are negative. 95% of them are repetitive. So what you're supervising is a massive negative washing machine that's happening. And we believe it. We wake up at 3 a.m. and believe it. I used to go into major panic attacks right around 3 a.m. And I was a total insomniac because I thought, you know, if I didn't hold the world together, who would? And the truth of it is that our mind, you know, the amygdala, I have a section in chapter one about the amygdala, and I call it, I call her Amy G. Dalla. And I say that Amy and I have a love-hate relationship because the amygdala truly doesn't know the difference between perceived fear and real fear. So it comes in handy if you're about to get hit by a car or fall off a cliff, but it act, you know, the same thought process, the same patterns happen when you think about, you know, someone who may cause you harm, which may not be real at all, or something that will happen that may not happen at all. And it's the same level of it.
Coming up, more on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zung.
What does that inner child want, or that inner puppy want? It wants to be loved. It wants to be encouraged. It wants to be supported. It wants to be cared for. Would you allow your child or your puppy to lead the way? No. So when people say follow your heart, they truly mean follow your soul. Your heart needs protection. It needs your attention. It needs your care. And that is all.
Are you struggling with a narcissist in your life, whether it's a family member, a friend, a business partner, a soon-to-be ex, whoever it is? Are you ready to shift that power dynamic, but you're just feeling like you cannot win, like everybody is believing their lies, and you're just feeling like there's just no way that you can shift that power dynamic? I've got a brand new masterclass for you. I'm sharing all my secrets, and so that you can finally take back your power and break free from this hell emotionally, physically, and spiritually. I've never done this free masterclass before. Go to Break Free From Hell and sign up. Come be with me and get my secrets so that you can finally take back your power and break free. Break free from hell, and let's do this. I'm always looking for ways to make drinking water more easy. I know how important it is to staying hydrated and healthy. That's why you've got to check out AquaTrue. AquaTrue purifiers use a four-stage reverse osmosis purification process, and they work with no installation or plumbing. Just throw it on there, and it uses the same technology used by all the major bottled water brands, and no plastic waste, no changing filters every 2 to 3 months. They last 6 months to 2 years. One set of filters makes the equivalent of 4,500 bottles of water, and it tastes fantastic. I can tell you, it has made my tea taste so much better, and it was so easy to set up. AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. It even makes a great gift, and today, you guys get 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. Just go to AquaTrue.com. That's AquaTrue.com and enter the code YOURBESTLIFE at checkout. That's 20% off any AquaTrue water purifier when you go to AquaTrue.com and use the code YOURBESTLIFE.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can listen to more episodes that show you the path to how to negotiate your best life.
It's to make you question your own mind. So it's basically things that you think you're seeing, or things that you think you're hearing, or whatever. They make you question your own sense of reality.
And now we return to today's show.
Minding our thoughts is super important. And the way that we do that, and I am not the first to say it, is to step outside of them. meditation is a great way of doing it. I talk, and not everybody is a meditator. So I talk about various ways of doing that. But truly, the ability to step outside of one's thinking and realize that we are having thoughts, thoughts do not have us, was one of the biggest aha moments I've ever had. And it's one of those things like riding a bike that once you get it, you can't unknow it. So now when I go into panic mode or whatever, I'm like, could this be real? Yeah. Could it be not real? Yeah. Am I going to hold on to it? No. So, and, you know, there's the story of the wolf you feed. I don't know if you know that Native American.
Oh, I'm very familiar, but I don't know if our listeners are. So yeah, I think it's great. It's basically like a Native American story. Yeah.
Yeah. Child goes to a chief and says, I have these, I have good thoughts, bad thoughts, and I'm not sure what to do with it. And he compares it, basically, I'm totally paraphrasing, but he compares it to a mad, dangerous wolf or a peaceful wolf, and basically says it really depends on which one you feed. That's the one that becomes stronger. So, and again, I'm totally paraphrasing, but so we can't control what comes into our minds, but we can certainly control what we concentrate on. So that's part one of the book, I mean, the week. And then the other part of it is really limiting the content that we consume. Because from the time that we wake up to the time that we sleep, we are bombarded with content. And so much of it is mental junk food. So I spend some time talking about how to do that. So between those two, there are other little nuggets as well, but those are the two big nuggets of that chapter. Once you actually practice it, it is life-changing. So
yeah, that's a good point. I know for me, I always joke that, if I don't supervise my thoughts, I end up like, you know, in the ghetto somewhere, like that neighborhood.
You do all.
You know, so, all right. So now let's head into week two, which is the heart, I think you said.
Yeah. Week two, I think will really resonate with your viewers and listeners because it is all about the heart and what is most important about our relationship with our heart is to not task it with the wrong things. So they say, follow your heart, which is a complete misnomer. People refer to our hearts as the inner child. I call it our inner puppy. Because truthfully, what does that inner child want or that inner puppy want? It wants to be loved. It wants to be encouraged. It wants to be supported. It wants to be cared for. Would you allow your child or your puppy to lead the way? No. When people say follow your heart, they truly mean follow your soul. Your heart needs protection. It needs your attention. It needs your care. And that is all. So feel all the feels. And I talk about the basic emotions and the complex emotions and why there is the need for them and not making one good or bad. Like we're also, you know, such happy addicts, right? Be happy, be happy. Mm-hmm. And truly it's contentment that we're aiming for, not happiness, because happiness is ephemeral. It comes, it goes, much like our thoughts. It's contentment, it's fulfillment that is lasting. One of the most important parts of the chapter is it's a filtration system that I call taser, shield, filter, or hug. And again, I think this will resonate with your viewers and listeners. The shield is, and I tell people, I say that because I believe so strongly that one's heart needs protection, and frankly, by protecting it, by caring for it, you truly set it free, because again, it's not bogged down by tasks that it doesn't need to do. Your heart or your soul, I mean, your mind or your soul can take care of it. But I tell people to gauge situations and people in their lives as you interact within it or with them. Does this person expand or contract my heart? And you will know the answer fairly immediately, and you should really listen to it. But the filtration system that I talk about in the chapter is called Taser, Shield, Filter, or Hug. Taser are those toxic people that should not be in your life, and you know them, taser them out. And not like real taser, but emotionally, mentally, psychologically, spiritually, taser them out. Shield is a little bit more difficult because those are people that are difficult, who you have to have in your life. Maybe it is your ex who you have to co-parent with, or a boss that you may not particularly like, creating very, very strong boundaries with those people and keeping them. Filter is not oversharing yourself with, not everybody is your people. So don't go on social and just share, you know, the fight that you had with your neighbor or, you know, whatever it is. If people don't have full context for what you are going through, they're going to add their own story, and it's just, it's not going to go the way you want it to. So do not overshare. And then the hug section is my favorite. That's your tribe. Those are people who, as Brené Brown says, have earned a seat at your table. And those people you allow to criticize you, you go deep with them, and you are very, very real with them. So, and I could talk on and on about week two, but it is especially important for those who are in unhealthy relationships or in relationships with narcissists, because it isn't a matter of really even dealing with the other person. It's truly protecting your heart in a way that protection is so evident that they can't penetrate it. Mm-hmm. So it isn't this battle. It's purely creating this like super defiant, I don't even want to call it like an aura that they can't penetrate.
Mm, I love that. So there's just a couple, and we don't have enough time to get into all the things that I want to get into here. You know, you reference a daily purge. What is that?
So the daily purge is pretty awesome and really quick to do. So I suggest that, we talked about that washing machine of negativity, right? It needs to go somewhere. And not everybody is a meditator. Meditating is amazing if you can do it. Some people will frankly, you know, run it out and such. The daily purge is basically 6 minutes of word vomiting. it's purging out any negative thoughts that come into your head. So instead of it cycling around in your head, it actually moves through you and out. And as ridiculous as it sounds, try it once. Just try it once for 6 minutes. And it is so cleansing and empowering. Like it's just like the morning, it's like a mini meditation. Because there's an outlet for the that negative stream. And once it is out, you're able to clearly think. The, you know, Amy G. Dalla is not in power at that point, and you could go about your day. And those who have done it, like anytime I come onto an interview, they're like, talk about the daily purge, talk about the daily purge, because it's just like a little special gift you could give yourself.
So are you saying it, or are you writing it in a journal?
You could write it in a journal, you could doodle it, you could cartwheel and do it. I do this like really weird, crazy dance. We used to call it jungle dancing when I was in high school, and now I'm doing it. So I do this like dance, and I say it at the same time while, you know, but you could be running and do it. You know, you could, like I said, you could cartwheel and do it. You can, you know, you can meditate and do it. But I think that it's important that you say the words out loud so that it truly gets out of you. So I dance and I do it, but everybody, whatever that activity is, and I list a variety of activities that you can do, but whatever resonates with you, because if you're sitting there and it feels cumbersome to write, then you're concentrating on, you know, that rather than it being the purge that it needs to be.
So I have a saying, and it seems like you have a saying that's sort of similar. I always say, stop trying to make not your people your people.
Yeah. I mean, I would add to that, like, you know, that if you do the work of the work, you'll have no desire to.
And you have a saying like, not everybody is our people.
Absolutely. Not everybody is our people. And the more work you do on yourself, the more you realize it. And like I mentioned, fairly instantly that, like, you know, and again, it isn't like those people are bad, my people are good. It's, you know, like, bless them, send them on their way, but they don't need to be in your life.
Yeah, I always say send them light, but over there.
Over there. It's and also, you know, like, forgiveness is very much the same thing. Like, you can truly forgive someone, and some forgiveness happens, you know, it could be a one-time thing. Some forgiveness, much like grief, takes a really long time. But you go through the process and you release, but that does not mean that that person is invited back at all. I mean, there are...
No, and it doesn't mean you're saying, oh, they got away with it or anything like that. It's for you.
It has nothing to do with them. It has nothing to do with them or what happened. It's purely releasing them from the hold that they have on your soul because they don't deserve it.
Exactly. Oh, that's such a beautiful way of putting it. Love that. Oof, so good. All right. So where can people find your book and you and everything else about you?
So anything related to me as an author or the book or transformational speaking is in my name. So shereenedassam.com. My social handles are also Shereen Edassam.
Which we'll put it all in the show notes, by the way.
Yeah. And so find me there. And my book is on various platforms, Amazon and Barnes & Noble are probably the easiest. But it's distributed through Simon & Schuster, and I've been really pushing them to get me into indie brick and mortar stores. So hopefully you'll find it there as well.
Yes. So good. This is awesome. Everybody needs to go buy the book, follow her, and check her out and make sure that you, you know, do the work. This is great stuff. Love it. How cool is this? I love it. Thank you so much. Really appreciate you. This is great.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to today's episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I'm Rebecca Zung. Tune in next week for another edition of Negotiate Your Best Life. Remember, if you want more ways to slay and you want more ways to be supported, you can always join my membership at joinslay.com/slay. You can always subscribe to my YouTube channel, and you can always grab my free Crush My Negotiation prep worksheet at winmynegotiation.com. Remember that today is a great day to start negotiating your best life, and I will definitely catch you in the next episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. Thanks so much for listening.